Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.
Good morning and welcome to Breakfast Business, and thank you to Eamon Torsney. It is Friday, the 29th of August at 6:31. Coming up on today's show, we'll be talking to the boss of Climb Action about helping companies get their emissions down, and we'll be looking at the self-catering sector amid a downturn in tourist numbers and all the markets as usual. You can email us, business@newstalk.com. But first, let's have a look at the main business stories in the newspapers and websites, which we shall do in the honourable and time-honoured company of Aidan Donnelly from Davies. Good morning, Aidan.
Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Any plans for the weekend?
A nice quiet one, Joe.
So you're not going to the electric picnic?
No, no.
I can see you in your wellies now.
Can you? Maybe in the garden. That's about the only place.
Anyway, let's start with the infamous EU-US trade framework. I'm not going to call it a deal. It might be undone if the Americans want Europe to scrap the Digital Services Act or any digital taxes that Europe may have.
Yeah, like, again, this is just more of the same, really. When it's kind of two steps forward, one step back when it comes to our dealings with Trump. And basically, this comes from a tweet he sent out the other day that he basically said that he'll think about additional tariffs for anybody who puts digital regulations on any US companies. And obviously, the tweet really does clear reference to the EU's Digital Services Act and Digital Markets Act, which are the two big landmark laws that were passed recently. And I think, look, the big question here is, and it's always the case, you never actually know whether you've got a deal or not with him, because he's forever changing the grounds on which he's negotiating. So the European Union are saying we may have to look at a review. There was an awful lot of relief definitely last week when it looked as if the whole area of digital was out off the table, but now he's after coming back on. And I think the point the EU are going to be making all the way along, this is not about US companies. They actually have, it's a worldwide thing. They've repeatedly stressed this, and it's not singling out US firms. They have actually taken, most recent action has been against the Chinese firms TikTok and Temu. So, but whether that holds any water with Trump, I doubt it. But again, you know, announcements are very easy to make, but actually getting the deals inked are the problem.
Yeah, it is. And what the European Union is of course, worried about is that the Meta boss, Mark Zuckerberg, may have kind of whispered in Trump's ear last week, because Bloomberg is reporting that he had met Trump. And then the next day, Trump tweets this infamous post about hitting on the Europeans. Now, staying with American companies here in Europe, Tesla sales are still falling like a stone.
Yeah, they're down 40% year on year in July, according to new registrations. And I think what's interesting too, it actually is coming against the backdrop where overall sales of battery electric cars rose in Europe in the month. And look, I suppose people want to point to the fact that, it's an anti-American thing, or it's an anti-Musk thing in terms of, you know, everything he got involved with in trying to stick his nose into European politics. But I think really, when you actually look at it, one of the biggest reasons out there is that Tesla's main issue is that it actually hasn't had a major refresh of its car lineup in a long time. Now, they're saying that they're looking at a more affordable electric car with volume production planned for the second half. But really, everything they talk about is, you know, when they're in public and things like that, is all about trying to deflect away from the fact that they're a car company at all. They want to talk about everything other than
technology companies, self-driving vehicles, robots, whatever you want to call them.
And I think, you know, as I said to you, they haven't had a major refresh of the car lineup. Whereas you look at the Chinese players that are just basically picking up market share all the time. They're up to about 5% market share in the first half of the year. And, you know,
that's from zero two or three years ago.
Yeah, and it's interesting that, you know, it's not just Tesla that are losing market share to from the Chinese competitors. The likes of Hyundai, Suzuki, Toyota, they're all doing them. But what was interesting in this month's one is the fact that actually some of the European names, the likes of Volkswagen, BMW and Renault, were actually managed to log increases in car registration. So there's still somebody doing weighing. And again, it's all down to new models and refreshed models.
Yeah. And of course, Tesla cars don't worry about the price of oil, but the rest of us still do worry about that. And Goldman Sachs has an interesting piece out suggesting that crude oil prices could go below $50 a barrel.
Yeah, I'm always very dubious when the words start off with controversial Goldman Sachs research. But ultimately what they're saying here is that they believe next year you're going to see a glut of inventory on the world oil market, and it's going to take the oil price into the low 50s from the kind of the 60s level that it is right now. And I think, look, the when you actually look at the futures market into next year, they don't see oil changing at all from current levels one way or the other. And even when you look through the research that Goldman's have done on it, you know, it's kind of, there's no major change here. They're just saying, oh, at the margin, inventories kind of creep up to about an extra day a year, and that can reduce it. There's an awful lot can happen in terms of global demand. And, you know, if you've got a spike in GDP, particularly through Asian countries, you know, economic growth picking up, that inventory could easily be wiped out very, very quickly and go the other way. So, you know, it's a classic last week in August piece, to be quite honest, which is that when there's not a lot else going on in the commodity markets.
Yeah, indeed. All your colleagues must be coming back from southern Italy or the Hamptons at this stage for next week, right? I suspect, Aidan. Now, there's an interesting piece in the FT suggesting that the world's best performing, as opposed to largest sovereign wealth fund, the largest one is in Norway, and the best performing one is in New Zealand. And it is betting on Europe and not the US.
Yeah, again, the devil is in the detail here, as is always the case. If you read through it, and as you said, it's, number one, it's not a particularly large fund. It's about $42 billion, which sounds a lot of money. But when you compare it to, as you said, the Norwegian one, which is $1.7 trillion, it pales into insignificance. But the other thing that they're talking about, and again, you know, to a certain extent, they're kind of late to the story. We would have been talking about this an awful lot at the start of the year, where, you know, there's a much more positive view on European equities versus US equities. These guys are saying now that they're making that switch. And if you were to read the headline, you know, you'd say to yourself, oh, they're selling all the US equities and they're buying European equities. It actually isn't the case. When you look at it, they've said that they're going to go overweight European equities by 2% and underweight US stocks by 3.5%.
Now, yeah, put that in, not the huge swathes of their fund, you know.
It's not really. When you look at it, you know, they'll still have 65% of their assets in the US equity market and only about, you know, 15 or 16% in Europe. So it's not that big a bet, really, when you think about it. But look, again, it's been on, you know, we've been talking about it a lot, and the arguments they're making is the valuations are much better in Europe than in the US. And
As in European stocks are cheap at the moment, cheaper compared to American, especially Mag 7.
And again, the problem that you've got is you're not comparing apples with oranges. You're comparing apples with oranges because the nature of the markets are very different in terms of the sector makeup and everything else between the two markets. So, look, I'm sure people in Europe, you know, European companies will be delighted to hear that they're going to have New Zealand shareholders on the register. But I'm not necessarily sure it's as big a call as the FT are making it.
Well, have a lovely weekend, whatever you're doing, whether it's in the garden or in the electric picnic, Aidan. That is Aidan Donnelly there from Davies.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.